Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Please be seated. Today, March 25th, the Church celebrates the Feast of the Annunciation of our Lord. On this date, 9 months before Christmas, we remember the appearance of the angel Gabriel to the Virgin Mary. And he said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who is called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary replied, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." Of course, that's not the primary festival we remember today, though. Today is Palm Sunday, the sixth Sunday in Lent, and the first day in Holy Week. And so we just heard how the crowds acclaimed Jesus as the Son of David, as possessing a kingdom. They welcomed him as he rode into Jerusalem on the back of the donkey, saying, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." And yet there is one more occasion that we mark this day. Confirmation Sunday here at Our Savior Lutheran Church. This morning at the next service, three young ladies will receive the Lord's Supper for the first time. Jesus' true body and true blood given and shed for Christians to eat and to drink for the forgiveness of their sins. Before that, they will confess their faith before God and men using the words of the Apostles' Creed. That they believe that the Scriptures are the Word of God. That they confess the doctrine of the Lutheran Church. That they intend to hear the Word of God and receive the Lord's Supper faithfully. That they intend to live according to that Word and remain true to God even to death. And that they intend to continue steadfast in this confession in church and to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it. One Sunday, three occasions. And with each of these occasions, we see a wonderful example of Christian confession. Mary, upon hearing the remarkable announcement that she would bear the Son of God himself in her womb and raise him as his mother, simply confessed, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." Likewise, the crowd that had been with Jesus when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to confess the Christ, that he is the King of Israel, that he came in the name of the Lord. And finally, the confirmants who have been baptized and instructed in the Christian faith confess their faith in word, the rite of confirmation, and in deed, receiving the Lord's Supper in the fellowship of this altar. These three confessions before us today are indeed examples of what Christian confession really is, to speak what God has first spoken. That's what the word confession literally means, to speak with someone or to say the same thing as someone. Christians speak with God. They say the same thing that God does. And so, for example, what we do at the beginning of the divine service is called the confession of sins. We say back to God exactly what he has first said to us in his law, that we are sinners and deserving of nothing but punishment now and forever. But we also confess that God has spoken more than his law to us. He has also spoken his gospel to us, that is, the good news of his Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross to forgive all your sins. From the beginning in the Garden of Eden, where he said, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." To the prophets of old, like Zechariah, which we heard this morning. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. To the apostles of the New Testament, like Paul, who said, Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Yes, when God speaks his gospel to you, he speaks to you concerning his son, Jesus. His life, his death, his resurrection and ascension, all for the forgiveness of your sins. And these alone are the words of eternal life. For where there is the forgiveness of sins, there is also life and salvation. And these alone are the words of eternal life. Apart from these words, there is only death. Death, of course, by the confessions of what the devil, the world, and the sinful nature say, which do not want you to hallow God's name or let his kingdom come. Those who speak along with these ungodly foes will find their end in death and hell. But also, those words that are of earthly value end at death. And even those whose confession are only the things of this world will not endure. And therefore, it doesn't matter what political party you support, or what community organizations you are a part of, or even what oaths you took for your military service. These things are for this life and nothing else. And when you take your last breath, the confession on your lips had better be something greater if you hope to have life after death. As a Christian, you do have something greater to confess. Jesus Christ died for me, a sinner. Again, whatever vows, oaths, or statements you have made in this earthly life, there is only one confession that saves your soul from death and brings you eternal life. St. Paul writes in Romans chapter 10, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Jesus likewise said, so everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. The saving power of confession is not in your personal act of confessing. Rather, it is in him whom you confess. For through confession, that is, through faith alone, you receive the benefits of Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of all your sins, won for you on the cross. And that's why Christians, throughout the centuries, have been willing to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from this confession. Mary was nearly divorced by her betrothed Joseph because she confessed herself to be the Lord's servant, willing to let it be according to God's word for her. The Jews who confessed Jesus to be the King of Israel, who came in the name of the Lord, faced the opposition of the Pharisees, who had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be the Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. And ever since then, Christians have faced things like the loss of social standing, employment, physical health and well-being, and even their lives for the name of Jesus. You sitting here today may not face martyrdom for your confession, but make no mistake, the world will not let you go by unscathed. What might you have to give up for the name of Jesus? A spot on the team? A promotion at work? A romantic relationship? A good friend? Your reputation in the community? Are you willing to give up all these things and more for the confession of Christ? Throughout the centuries, believers have considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than all the treasures of this world, for they knew him whom they believed. They knew that he was the Lord of life who had all authority, even over death itself. And so Zechariah prophesied that Christ would speak peace to the nations, that his rule would be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. Mary knew that her relative Elizabeth, in her old age, had also conceived a son, for nothing was impossible with God. The crowd that acclaimed Jesus on Palm Sunday was with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead. And you likewise have heard the great works of God, how he has destroyed the power of death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. You have heard that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You have heard that whoever confesses Jesus to be the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. You have heard that Christ will confess the names of his believers before his Father and before his angels, and he will never blot his name out of the book of life. Yes, by faith, you have heard and know that Jesus Christ is Lord of all, Lord even over life and death. And therefore, he has the power to bring those who confess his name safely through death to everlasting life. And therefore, on this Palm Sunday, Confirmation Sunday, and Feast of the Annunciation of our Lord, follow the example of those whose confessions are before you. Confess like Mary that you are the servant of the Lord, and pray that his will be done among you according to his word. Confess like the crowds in Jerusalem, praising Jesus as your King and hailing him as your Savior from your enemies of sin, death, and the devil. Confess like the confirmands today, like most of you have done in the past, that nothing in your life is more valuable than the confession of this faith, and that it would be better to suffer everything, even death, rather than to lose it. Yes, confess Jesus Christ alone as the way, the truth, and the life, and then be confident that for his sake, the forgiveness of sins and eternal life is yours. And on the last day, when Christ comes back in glory to judge both the living and the dead, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Many will do so in fear and trembling, wailing on account of him. But not so you. Instead, when you see Christ come in his glory, when you fall to your knees in worship, when you open your mouth to confess his name, it will simply be the consummation, the fulfillment of what you are doing even now. And therefore, with Mary, with the crowds, with the confirmands, with the whole church on earth and all the company of heaven, we confess now and even to the very end of the age that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen.